across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Can you stand it, Central Florida? Don't we have the greatest winter weather in the nation, friends? But you knew that. That's why we're here. Lair Adams and the crew of the American Adversaries at Drive Time on, you know it, News Talk 660 WORL. Folks, I've recently noticed a certain malaise in Americans' shock over the never-ending scandals in the White House. Have we reached the point of saturation? Is it now boring if it's not a scandal of epic proportions? I wonder if that's what the plan was all along. The problem is, their screw-ups are fuel for our fire. And here to stoke the flames, our host, Christopher Hart.
There you go. Thanks so much there, Lair Adams. And thank you folks very much for being with us tonight. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time. And don't forget, we are live. So if you want to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget to keep that phone nearby, because at some point during this hour, we will be giving away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics on the rocks. That's right, folks. Great new all-natural, all kelp water enhanced with vitamins and minerals. And this stuff's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for just about anything that ails your skin, whether it be in your mouth or laying on at the outside of
or
your body.
Or even your throat.
There you go.
It cured my laryngitis, folks.
So be ready for that. You never know when that might happen. We got an action-packed show lined up for you tonight. Abe Katzman, our man in Jerusalem, and he's now our man about the world, and we'll find out where he is tonight, but he's going to join us tonight. We're going to talk about Middle East, and believe it or not, there is a lot of news that's been breaking in the Middle East. That's been pushed to the back burner thanks to the bumbling President Obama and his dandy healthcare site. But we're also going to talk a little bit about government waste. I think you're going to get a big kick out of some of the things that we're wasting money on. And Nostradamus has some very interesting poll numbers later on. But real quickly, some sort of breaking news. The budget bill cleared a big hurdle in the Senate today, thanks to the Dirty Dozen. You remember the movie, The Dirty Dozen?
Oh, yeah.
Lee Marvin, Telly Savalas, and all those guys. Well, we have our own Dirty Dozen of 12 Republicans who sided with Democrats for a 67-33 vote in the Senate for cloture, which means now tomorrow, evidently, they are going to actually vote on the budget. And a good many of these Republicans say they're going to go ahead and vote for the budget, too. So don't be surprised if the final vote is not something similar to what we see here today, 63-37, 67-33. Nostradamus will have the 12, the Dirty Dozen, and I'm sure Marco Rubio is not one of them, in case you're wondering. Of course, Bill Nelson's a Democrat, so he voted for it.
Of course.
And a big high five to our man, Dan Webster. I meant to bring this up Sunday night, but we just got involved in so many other things. But Dan Webster was actually one of the House members who voted no. That's
Ooh,
right.
And good job, Dan.
The Orlando Sentinel chided him in their Saturday edition. They do this thing where they call they have a champ and a chump. They named him the chump last week because he did vote no. And go Dan, go, is all I can say. And hopefully we'll have Dan on in the near future and he can tell us why.
Well, when the Sentinel calls you a chump, it sounds like somebody's a chimp. And I would think that the monkeys at the Orlando Slant and all.
I reckon that's a good way to look at it. And we also want to say go judge, or you know, here come the judge. Remember that old saying?
Oh, yeah.
Judge Richard Leon of the D.C. U.S. District Court for basically striking down the NSA spying tactics, although he stayed his decision, basically sent it up to a higher court, but he ruled much of the NSA tactics to be unconstitutional and actually called them borderline Orwellian.
I've heard that phrase, too.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up the exact quote here.
And Chris, this fellow, he's not real happy with the NSA, and he made no bones about it.
Almost Orwellian, he called what the NSA has been doing, in particular their bulk phone surveillance.
He said, show me the money.
That's it.
Show me the money. Show me where that you're spying on millions of people in the United States has thwarted terrorism.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a conservative judge, and he was appointed by George W. Bush. So this is could potentially be a big blow to the NSA program, and it has definitely suffered a PR problem.
Well,
lately.
That's right. But Chris, what bothers me is the Republicans that are just so deep into this. Oh no, we can't throttle the NSA back.
Well,
oh no, that's for terrorism.
Right, well, let's be a little understanding here, because they want to err on the side of protecting people and not having another 9/11 happen. However, there must be a way to balance this, and just allowing the NSA to do whatever they want to do and not even questioning it is, I think, the wrong approach.
Well, I like Bush's plan. I mean, like, you know, if you're contacting someone overseas, we won't record your conversation, but we'll at least, you know, put down that, hey, you contacted this person.
It's like I said before, in the digital age, once you begin to go through a doorway, you basically, you're either on one side or the other. It's not a little bit. It's kind of like trying to be a little bit pregnant. You just can't do it. So we'll see what happens with that. But also, and this you'll find this on Soundbite. This was posted today on SoundbiteRx.com. But our good friend Senator Tom Colburn, Republican from Oklahoma, has come out with his yearly list of government waste and spending. And he's come up with about $30 billion. And by the way, folks, if they'd have just taken the $30 billion that extra they're going to spend this year and taken it out of government waste, we wouldn't have to spend anymore. But that's neither here nor there now. But it's very interesting some of the things that the government is wasting money on. Of course, the number one thing last year that the government wasted money on was the
shrimp treadmill.
No, it was the Obama. Oh. It was the Obamacare website.
Oh.
So far, the government has been able to find what the administration has allowed us to know, $319 million wasted. Now that we know it's a lot more than that, but that's what they've acknowledged so far officially. And also, there was the $400 million to pay to the furloughed workers who got to sit home thanks to the government shutdown. Didn't actually have to do that, but they went ahead and did it. So they didn't want to make those workers mad. Heaven forbid that. And there's over 100 things in there that add up to this $30 billion. Now, there's some that are more interesting, perhaps, than others. Let's see. For instance, Larry, you got a couple of them there. Why don't you start us off?
Oh, let's see here. I love this one, Chris. You have too, folks. I have a real taste for this. It's for NASA. $125,000 to develop pizza that can be printed on a 3D printer.
Kind of like those gizmos they had on the Starship Enterprise.
You can
Enterprise.
Make a gun.
What were those things? Yeah, you could. That's exactly
you
right.
You can make a gun on a 3D printer. Out of plastic, but I never heard of making a food item.
It reminded me of that Star Trek thing.
You know, it'd be almost like transporting. You could fax
that's
a
right.
pizza to people.
And that's already on top of the $1 million a year they're paying to our local Lockheed Martin here to study food that can be used on a Mars mission. And the space agency has spent $390,000 to develop a green ninja cartoon character to promote climate change.
A green ninja climate change
character. That's right. Nick, you're going to have to give us 2 more minutes here, please. What's the next one there?
I'm sorry. You'll have to explain this to me. $360,000 on pillow knots that lay in bed for 70 days?
That's right. Pillow knots are people who lay in bed for 70 days to more or less simulate conditions in space. Not like we don't have a space station where we have astronauts there who are not just simulating conditions in space. They are actually living in space.
Well, now, if you're in space, and you're not going to be flat on your back the entire time you're in space, I'm assuming you're doing other things. Or is this for, like, suspended animation?
This is pillow knots. And the FBI spent $1.5 million to help Hollywood accurately depict the agency.
Which agency?
The FBI.
The FBI. And I remember a little TV show about that.
The State Department, not to be outdone, spent $630,000 to buy likes on Facebook. I didn't know you had to buy likes on Facebook.
I didn't realize that either. Doggone. Okay, folks, you're going to love this. The National Endowment of the Arts spent $10,000. Okay. Maybe I would attend this. On a pole dancing performance art project in Austin, Texas. $10,000 of the tax money.
I wonder if
you and mine went to a pole dancing performance art project.
I wonder if that was all singles and fives that were slipped under garters during the competition. Arlington, Virginia used federal money to build a $1 million bus stop that does not actually shield passengers from the weather. You wanted to say something later?
The pole dancing thing. In Texas, I knew you'd like that one. Isn't there something, there used to be an old thing years ago where you climbed a greased pole?
Is this something that erupted from that? There was a proposition, I don't know if it ever went through, but for a pole tax in somewhere in Texas for performances of pole dancing.
And, of course, you wouldn't have to pay it if you were Polish. That's terrible.
All right.
Pole dancing.
The National Guard spent $10 million on tie-ins for the latest Superman movie to support their recruiting efforts. And perhaps the one that I like the most of all being that I spent about 30 years helping people prepare their income taxes. The Internal Revenue Service granted 19 Nevada brothels standard business tax deductions for expenses including breast implants and sex toys.
So,
are you telling me,
Chris, that I need to go back and redo my taxes?
I don't know about that.
Maybe
we should just go ahead and take the break and hope Abe Katzman joins us on the other side. You'll find that government waste listed at soundbiterx.com. We'll be right back.
Sex toys and breast implants.
Write it off on your taxes, man.
This is former wrestling champion B. Brian Blair, one of the Killer Bees. If you don't want to get stung by liberal lies, listen for the truth. On the American Adversaries, the tag team champions of political professional wrestling on Orlando's AM 660 WORL.
There you go. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries at Drive Time on a beautiful afternoon here in Central Florida. Going to be another chilly night tonight, and then it's going to start warming back up, so enjoy this cool weather while we can. Welcome back. As I said, 407-774-8255 is the number, and we're going to go now to our man in, well, I guess I should say about town, because I don't know exactly where he is tonight. We'll have to ask him. But, of course, I'm talking about Abe Katzman, and you can find his work at abekatzman.com and highlighted at soundbiterx.com. Welcome back to the show, Abe. Where are you tonight?
Seattle, Washington. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure having you. And, the last time we had you on the air, you were telling us how you were in the snow in New York. And then Lair asked you, does it ever snow in Jerusalem? And lo and behold, how much snow actually came down in Jerusalem this weekend?
They got close to 2 feet of snow.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
They don't know how to deal with it. The schools have been closed for several days in a row. It's been a nightmare.
So it's still on the ground.
It's not like they're equipped with it. It's still on the ground.
Wow, no snow plows.
There's a little bit of salt here and there, and they might have one snow plow or something like that, but No, if you've seen pictures of it, it looks like pictures of Buffalo or Cleveland or some city on the Great Lakes after one of those lake effect snowstorms. I mean, it is just piled high.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I saw a picture in the newspaper the other day of the Temple Mount and girls throw in a snowball fight in front of it. It was really fascinating. And so, yeah, I guess we got to watch out old Lair. He's got some sort of predictive abilities there rubbed off on him from Nostradamus. But it was fascinating. How soon are you going back? Are you going to be going back to the snow?
I hope the snow will be gone by the time I get back there. Not that I don't like snow, but I don't like snow when the city can't handle it.
Yeah, and the people aren't
way too much.
And the people aren't used to driving in it or being around it. Yeah, that's for sure. I wouldn't know how to drive in it. Abe, a lot of things have been happening since you've been on the road. I want to start with there was a border shooting evidently over the last couple of days where an Israeli soldier got killed. This is the border with Lebanon. It seems as though the violence in Lebanon is picking up as it bleeds over from Syria. Is all of this related?
It may be. How's that for a convincing answer?
Honest.
the big, you know, it's hard to tell. We don't know a lot. We know that it was a Lebanese army soldier who shot the Israeli. There was no provocation. He just lined him up and shot and killed him. It doesn't seem that he was that he was part of Hamas or he was part of any other militia, but we don't know. He turned himself in, whatever that means exactly, to the Lebanese. And Israel has been protesting, but I don't know what they expect to happen. I don't believe they're going to war over this. They had an experience like that in 2006. There was an ambush of Israeli soldiers on the Lebanese border, and that actually set off a war in 2006. So, but I don't think anybody has the stomach for one right now. And it's kind of sad to say, but I guess you can get away with shooting one soldier at a time.
Yeah. Abe, in today's Wall Street Journal, there's an article entitled "Islamists Increase Attacks on Lebanon Army," and it's the Sunni extremists that are in Lebanon are stepping up their attacks on the army, accusing the army of being backing the United States, accusing the United States, who has been backing the Lebanese army, of siding with Assad. I mean, can this get more bizarre? And isn't this more troubling for Israel? Perhaps a civil war could break out in Lebanon.
A civil war could easily break out in Lebanon. They had one not so long ago. They had a civil war that ran from the mid-1970s effectively through what year? That's a good question.
Well, into the
90s. I don't remember when it ended, but it's they're always on the verge of one. There are some, I think, 27 different religious denominations represented there, all kinds of different branches of Christianity and Islam, and most of whom hate each other. So at any given time, plus you throw in the tribal element into the equation, and at any given time, there can be skirmishes that break out, and maybe they can even spread and create a full-fledged war.
Hey, let me ask you this. We see some problems now occurring between the Saudis and the White House. Are there open channels with Israel between the Saudis and your nation? I mean, is there, if Netanyahu wants to talk to someone in Saudi Arabia or vice versa, can they get on the phone and say, hey, let's chat?
There may be unofficial channels. There certainly are back channel communications, and in fact, there have been lately, the Saudi diplomats and Israeli diplomats they used to conspicuously avoid each other, and lately they've been kind of huddling together like they're buddies. So apparently, you know, look, they always say in the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, the bigger the enemy, the more valuable the friend. And right now, Iran is a very big enemy to both the Saudis and the Israelis, and that means that the Israelis and the Saudis have things that will have at least one very big common interest that will bring them together. I actually just wrote something that hasn't yet seen the light of day. But what I maintain is that it's possible that inadvertently the Obama administration and the Iranians may actually do more for bringing peace to the Middle East than all the conferences and all the initiatives that they've ever had before. And the peace process is only worth so much. What really matters is having common interests and reasons to make peace. And that seems to be what you're seeing now with the Saudis and the Gulf Arabs, and I would even throw in there the Egyptians and the Jordanians, who have a very strong interest at this point in keeping Israel happy and healthy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's with the Saudi Arabians, they are particularly angry at the Obama administration. So it's like the Obama administration through its tomfoolery, if you will, and the Iranians with their desires have put the fear of God in everybody, and that's sort of been the sobering process in driving people together with these now newfound common interests. Not such a bad thing. I look forward to reading that article, Abe, and as soon as you do, of course, we'll discuss it on the show when we have you back. We have to take the break now, though, but if you'll stay with us, I want to talk more about what's going on in particular with the Middle East so-called peace deal between the Palestinians and Israel, and then I also want to talk about a little bit about Egypt, because some very interesting things happening there. Okay, so we'll be back in just a few minutes, folks, with Abe Katzman, our man in Seattle, tonight as he transverses the globe on his way home to snowbound Jerusalem.
Maybe he'll get some skiing in on the slopes there in Israel. Folks, American Adversaries will be right back. Don't you miss it. Abe Katzman will be back with us also.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, SoundbiteRx.com has been all over the lack of security for people using the Obamacare website and the so-called navigators as well. Now SoundbiteRx.com has found more troubling info concerning the navigators.
That's correct, Chris. This story has so much detail. Let me see if I can get to all of it. It's crazy. So the Obama administration decided that the navigators, who are supposed to help all the Americans enroll in the health insurance plan, they wouldn't undergo any kind of mandatory background check. So there's a House and Oversight Government Reform Committee report that's come out that said the Obamacare navigators are giving Americans misinformation, which we've reported before, but in some cases they're actively encouraging the people that they're supposed to help to commit fraud in order to raise their subsidies or raise the amount of money they get toward their health care program. And Health and Human Services Secretary Sebelius said at a congressional hearing that it was, quote-unquote, possible for convicted felons to become navigators. Now, we've reported that before, but this just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, not only do they not undergo background checks, but the government has no way of confirming whether they've even actually undergone the training that they need to be a navigator.
That's absolutely correct. There's supposedly 2,500 individuals who are quote-unquote certified navigators, but this list is private. And so if it's private and you're trying to figure out if your person is for real or not for real, you have no way of knowing that. You have no way of confirming that, and there's no place to go to confirm it. So this just leads to tons of fraud, convicted felons taking your information, tax fraud, all sorts of security risks. It's insane.
It sure is. It would seem as though the security of the American public and their personal information wasn't even considered when this plan was hatched. All right, thanks, Ted. Folks, do yourself and your loved ones a favor. Arm yourself with the truth at SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL, if you can take it.
Okay, welcome back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart and Lair Adams with you in the studio today. We have Abe Katzman coming to us from Seattle. And, of course, you can join us as well, 407-774-8255. Our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, will be joining us here shortly as well. Abe, John Kerry was back in Israel last week and trying to piece together some sort of peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis, but they're bumping up against the real hard hurdles, and namely sovereignty and security. Is there any optimism, or is pessimism beginning to set in on the latest round of talks?
Well, he also ran up against the snow, which I think delayed a couple of meetings that he was supposed to have.
Oh, so it was kind of a snow job.
Oh,
sorry.
But it did have an effect on his visit.
Yeah, it actually did. Look, it's if you get snow for a few days, it's a few more days that the sides aren't at war. So yeah, I guess that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Is the peace process dead? It depends who you ask. Kerry doesn't think so. A lot of people do, but a lot of people think that it had no life to begin with. One of the problems here is all along, I mean, this has been a core problem really since 1948, has been a refusal on the part of the Arabs to accept a Jewish state, to accept the right of the Jewish people to have a state in their homeland. So there's Abbas just leaked a letter, apparently, that he was sending to Kerry, calling his refusal to recognize Israel as a Jewish state his red line. Well, an interesting choice of words. Too bad it's not one of those Obama red lines.
Sure.
We wouldn't take it so seriously.
Right.
But I have a feeling that Abbas means it, that then pretty much the Palestinian position forever. And when it comes down to it, that is the root of the conflict. If there's no recognition of Israel as a Jewish state, then there's really not much else to talk about, because any deal, there's not any point for Israel in making some kind of deal that doesn't end the conflict, that doesn't end all future claims against it. And by not recognizing a Jewish state, that what they're effectively doing is saying there's still that is an entity called Israel could exist, but it's not Jewish. It has nothing to do with the Jewish people. And in fact, they're still going to maintain their so-called right of return, that millions of descendants of refugees from 1948 would be able to flood into Israel and create another Palestinian state.
Yeah.
So if you recognize it as a Jewish state, and I think this is the position that that even the Obama administration takes, is that they'd like to see it recognized as a Jewish state. The Palestinians can return to a Palestinian state. Jews continue to live in a Jewish state, and everybody lives happily ever after, in theory.
Right.
But if there's if it's a red line, if Abbas cannot bring himself to even contemplate recognizing Israel as a Jewish state, then there is really not much hope for any kind of permanent solution.
Yeah, I think if anything, the Palestinians might have been thinking that with this Obama administration, that maybe finally they would be able to get what they've been after all along. And they're finding that in the end, they still have to deal with Israel. And so thank God for guys like Prime Minister Netanyahu, who are not willing to go for that nonsense.
Well, gentlemen, the scary thing to me about this whole thing with Iran and their development of a bomb is it just looks to me like the Obama administration is going to let it happen anyway, and if they do develop a bomb, they're just going to say, oh, well, they would have developed one anyway, and there was nothing we could do about it.
Well, in fact, Abe, the talks for this latest deal have broken down. So it appears everything's up in the air again with Iran.
Yeah, without having finalized whatever that preliminary interim draft of an agreement was that they that everybody was talking about. I don't know, you know, did the six-month period of that agreement start to, did the clock start ticking on it? You know, I don't know where things stand. I don't know where any of the terms of that agreement, the Geneva Agreement, where what the status of any of those terms are at this point.
Well, I guess at this point, nobody really does. The Iranians walked out last week because they were mad because the Obama administration decided to put a few extra foreign companies and some people on a blacklist because they have been doing business with Iran. So Iran said, well, the heck with you guys, we're out of here. And to my knowledge, they have not come back to the table to continue to resolve the issues that you're talking about. In other words, how is this big deal that we just made supposed to work? It's like, oh yeah, they didn't actually make a deal, because obviously they haven't worked out the details, so how could you say they have a deal? What they actually came to the agreement was that we like the idea of saying we made a deal. And perhaps that it's kind of like, it reminds me of giving Barack Obama a Nobel Peace Prize before he's ever done anything. It's like, okay, if we give him the Peace Prize, maybe he'll actually go out now and do something to deserve it. Am I lost on this one?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I don't even have anything to add. I think you got it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if the Iranians decide to come back. You know, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago, a joint article by Henry Kissinger and George Shultz. Did you happen to see it, by the way, Abe?
I recall looking at it. You'll have to fill me in.
Basically, what they said was the way it stands now, and they referring back to what Larry was saying, was that they are on the threshold of becoming a nuclear power in terms of, you know, a military power, and that this deal can't stay that way. If this final deal, it's supposedly in 6 months, whenever the clock started ticking, doesn't make some radical changes, Iran's going to get a nuclear weapon. Was their consensus.
Yeah, and I think their calculation also is that the Obama administration is so anxious to have some kind of deal,
right,
that they can go to the brink. They can be the do a little gamesmanship, walk away from the table. They believe that the Obama administration will want a deal at any price and will agree to ultimately to whatever concessions they insist upon.
Yeah, and why shouldn't they believe this? I mean, they see this guy doesn't know how to negotiate. And did you hear what Bob Woodward said about the budget deal, that the reason they were actually able to get a deal was because Obama wasn't involved in it?
Well, think about it.
The guy, you know, he doesn't have a very good reputation, does he?
He makes it easy for him. It really does, yeah. Chris. I mean, yeah. Nothing about him is practical. And
when the only people he seems to want to, you know, be serious in opposing is Republicans, it makes everybody else, you know, their mouths must be watering. Speaking of mouths watering, I got Nostradamus on the line, Abe, who wants to get in on this, so let me bring him on. Nostradamus, how are things at headquarters tonight? Any snow over there?
No snow here, and I'm guessing, Abe, there's not too much rain in Seattle, because it never rains up there.
Oh, no.
Never.
Question for you, Abe. A week ago, I was questioning you about Bibi Netanyahu's decision to pass on the Mandela Memorial and funeral. How smart does he look now? Because he missed the opportunity to stand next to a mentally unbalanced black man with delusions of skills he just doesn't have.
Who may be a murderer.
That crazy interpreter was there, too.
Well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we saw some news reports, I believe, before the interpreter incident, which confirmed what you said, that Netanyahu had said it was a budgetary matter, but that there were also security concerns. Had you heard any rumors of that, Abe, that particular concern?
That's always a concern. And like I said, I think it is a legitimate concern. But I think that had it been a different leader, they might have found a way to get him there and to take care of it, for Netanyahu to go there and handle all the security issues.
I see. Okay. All right. Does that answer your question, Nostradamus?
That's all I got tonight.
Yeah, you don't want an unlicensed interpreter there, sign language interpreter there either. Yeah, oh, no way.
Abe, in the next few minutes, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Egypt. You mentioned it a little while ago. I was perusing through the newspaper this weekend, a local newspaper, and a tiny little article tucked into the front page section entitled "A New Egyptian Constitution to Face Vote in January." Things are coming along pretty good over there, it sounds like. Am I wrong? Is no news good news coming out of Egypt?
I think no news is pretty good news from our standpoint. I'm not sure that I'd want to live under the Egyptian rule, the current Egyptian military rule, but they do seem to be moving things in the right direction. By the way, Cairo got snow also for the first time in 112 years.
Yeah. By the way, while we're back on the subject of snow, is there any folklore or anything in the Middle East there when you get a snow like that? Does it portend good or bad things to come or anything sort of thing like that?
Usually portends a quick melt. doesn't stay cold that long.
All right, well, maybe it'll pretend a quick melt in Saudi Israeli relations.
No legends of the Christmas camel or cactus or anything, right?
Yeah. Well, evidently they're supposed to vote on this constitution in January 14th and 15th, and the military is promising parliamentary and presidential elections next year. Is there any word coming out of Egypt as to what the Constitution may be like? Is it anything like the one the Muslim Brotherhood put forward, or is it much more secular, or any ideas?
I haven't seen it, but I can guarantee you that it is not the same Constitution that the Muslim Brotherhood put forth. I imagine it is going to be, well, for one thing, when you're under military rule, you can create a Constitution, but on some level, it's still just a piece of paper. The Soviets used to have a beautiful constitution.
Right.
I'm not sure what it was worth. So the fact that there is a constitution, it means something. We'll see how they treat it. I think it's worth noting that the Egyptians just agreed to a $2 billion military purchase from the Russians.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question. Yeah, the soundbiterx.com posted this today. $2 billion arms deal, and this is not humanitarian aid. This is actual weapons with Russia, and it looks as though Russian influence is growing not only in Iran but also in Syria, but also now in Egypt.
Yeah. Look, the U.S., the Obama administration, we still don't know exactly what they were thinking. First, they couldn't make up their mind. Was the military takeover a coup? Was it not a coup? Then they waited a couple of months and suddenly decided they're going to suspend military aid. And what really didn't make sense there is that they suspended the aid once it became pretty clear that the new man in Egypt could be a valuable and reliable friend and ally. So I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they are thinking. I tend to think that that it's just a matter of gross incompetence. They really don't know what they're doing, the Obama administration.
You know, I've come to the same conclusion, Abe, about liberals in general. You know, they'd have us believe that they're smart and, oh, they got the Harvard degrees and this and that and the other thing. But when it comes right down to it, they're pretty doggone boneheaded. You're absolutely right. This General Assisi, he's just what the doctor ordered for Egypt. Like it or not, heavy-handed or not, it's what the country needed at that time, and it looks like he's pushing it in the right direction. Of course, we have to wait and see how it turns out, but I believe it was really idiotic for Obama, you know, to turn away from him. But it actually may have been, as it turns out, the best thing to happen to the guy.
That is an interesting perspective, that it might actually be to his benefit to not have Obama in his corner.
Yeah. Just look what Woodward said. I mean, the guy.
That's the position Democrats are in right now.
I mean, when his claim to fame in terms of experience in coming to the White House was as a community organizer, I guess we shouldn't have expected much out of the guy at all, because we sure didn't get it. But what we did get was a great interview with you, Abe, as always, and we really do appreciate you. So enjoy your time here in the States, and slap a few snowballs together when you get back to Jerusalem, if it's still on the ground for us, would you?
Oh, I'll do what I can. I'll throw one for you.
All right.
And you be very safe, Abe.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you soon. And I look forward to reading your next article. Sounds fascinating,
Thank
as always.
You. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. All right, folks, stick around. We got one more segment to go. Nostradamus has some real good poll numbers in terms of us, not in terms of the president.
Ooh, that's right. It wouldn't be terrible if we were up and he was down. We'll be back.
We love it.
Folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Ho!
And away we go for the last segment as we come around the bend. Okay, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries. And let's go ahead and give away that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. You just heard the commercial. If you'd like a free bottle, call right now, 407-774-8255. The first caller to get through to Nick LoCicero gets a free bottle on the rocks of Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Call right now, 407-774-8255. Nostradamus.
Yo, guys.
Hey, you see, now, if you lived in Nevada and you ran a brothel and you had to buy things, excuse me, for the girls, you could write it off on your taxes. That's pretty
now,
cool.
He thing. Sure would have to explain something to Sharon, too.
Okay, now, wait. You were saying things like sex toys can be written off as what, a capital expense?
As
and you have to value depreciation each year for the usual wear and tear?
Well, it would be a business deduction, so you would have the choice of depreciating it or writing it off as a 701.
Well, of course you can write off the batteries, Dennis.
All right.
No, the whips and chains and the leather.
All right, who are the dirty?
I'll tell you where I got mine.
Who are the dirty dozen we need to put the whips to?
Well, okay, let's go through the 12 of them. 12 Republicans that joined 55 Senate Democrats to vote to end cloture.
All right, well, let me guess a couple.
33 Republicans against it, no Democrats.
All right, was John...
The gang of 12.
Was John McCain one?
Yeah, and in fact, the last gang of 12 that was composed of six Democrats, six Republicans, all six Republicans from that group are in this. Alexander, Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, Orrin Hatch, John McCain, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
All right, just give us all of them real quick.
The other six, Saxby Chambliss, Georgia, Johnny Isaacson, Georgia, Rob Portman from Ohio, Roy Blunt from Missouri, and Ron Johnson from Wisconsin.
He voted for the budget deal.
Foreclosure. And finally, John Hoeven from North Dakota.
Now, have these 12, have they all announced that they're going to go ahead and vote for the bill itself?
Oh, no, by no means. In fact, only four of them have said that they plan on voting for it, and that includes Collins, McCain, and Flake.
Okay. No Ron Johnson in that four?
Yeah. No, he's not in that four, no.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to getting him back on the air, and we'll talk to him about why he voted for cloture anyway. Okay. So that's that deal looks like it's going to be done tomorrow, and it'll head for the president's desk. I'm sure it'll be signed before Christmas. But we'll have to see what the final vote is, and we'll get you those results tomorrow. Speaking of the results, you got some poll results, the latest.
Okay, we got a few polls. The Pew Research poll shows that Obama's job rating actually has ticked up a little bit in their poll in December, but he is still below water on this one. A month ago, according to Pew, he was his job rating was 41-53, 12 points down disapproval. It has ticked up. Now it's 45-49, still 4 points down from break even.
Still PU, but not as bad in the Pew poll. By the way, congratulations to Al from Castleberry. He won tonight's bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Don't forget, we'll continue to do that right through our pre-Christmas Eve show. In other words, the December 23rd show. We'll be off Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Go ahead, Dennis.
All right, ABC News poll. This is how ABC News is spinning this poll. It stopped getting worse for Obama, so that's a good thing. Well, 55% of Americans this month disapproved of the president's job performance overall, unchanged from last month. 43% approved. That ticks up from 42 in November. And so their answer to that is, well, see, it stopped getting worse. In other words, the hurricane came through. There's 6 feet of water in our basement, but it's not raining right now.
Right. Wouldn't it be ironic if he's getting a little bump because of the budget deal that he had nothing to do with?
It could be. But you know, at one point, a month away from our next general elections, like we all know,
what
10 months is a lifetime in politics.
Yeah, what a compliment, Dennis. Oh, he's such a great president. He stays out of stuff. He doesn't do anything.
Well, I tell you, if we do that more, we'd love it.
Murray, Ryan, and the Egyptians have all found the key to success with this administration. Do deals away from them, with them not in present. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and then this last poll, this is a Rasmussen poll, and this is all about how Republicans and Democrats rate different professions. Republicans believe that police officers, clergy, and military officers have a much more positive rating than Democrats give them. Democrats say judges, TV reporters, and newspaper reporters have a much better rating than Republicans would give them.
Well, where do you suppose we fit in there?
I don't think we're really reporters, so I don't see talk show hosts on there. I bet Republicans like us though.
I don't know so much about that.
I bet Republicans like us though.
Okay, well, we like what we're doing, so they're stuck with us. Okay.
They have to be.
All right. Anything else, Dennis, before we let you go?
Yeah, this green ninja climate change superhero. Don't we already have four green ninja fighting superheroes, and aren't they turtles?
Hey, by the way, what was that one story that was bad news for you and me but good news for Lair?
What was that? I didn't see that.
Tip 999.
I didn't look at that. I didn't check 9.
Oh,
let's hear it. Let me have it, Chris.
People who are pretty and good-looking get paid more and get better grades.
Oh, yes, I got that, yes. But they are often discriminated against because people don't take them seriously. They feel like they've coasted through life. You know, the big guy has had a name for those people. He calls them Uglo Americans.
Well, I think everybody has a prejudice against those gorgeous people that we think had it easy all their lives.
Speak for yourself, Larry. You're one of those
Not
gorgeous
me.
People.
Nobody ever called me handsome.
Sure ain't talking about me or Dennis. All right, thank you, Dennis. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, folks, please join us at tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time.
As always, as like Chris said, we'll be back. Have a great night.
Night, everybody.
News Talk 660 WOR. RL.